Good morning. It's good to see everybody. We have a number of visitors with us this morning. It's great to see y'all. Welcome. Welcome to be here. And if you have no experience with attending a worship service of the Churches of Christ, if you have any questions, feel free to ask me or Harold here who was up here leading singing. We're the elders here. We're the shepherds. It's our responsibility to shepherd this flock. And we'll be happy to answer any questions you have and show you in the scripture why we do what we do, because that's the only reason we do it. This is what God tells us to do. Today, our regular minister, Stephen Hughes, and his wife are gone this weekend. They're visiting family down in South Carolina. So you've already had me teaching a class this morning, which is what's on the board back here, but I'm going to be bringing you a lesson today from God's Word about membership. Membership is an interesting thing. We talk a lot about it, you know, in these days, members and all kinds of things. Everybody wants you to be members of their application, or, you know, be friends here, or be somebody's follower on something, you know, whether it's LinkedIn or Instagram or whatever it happens to be. And there's all this stuff about come together, be a member, be part of our group. But we're going to be talking about membership in the Lord's church. And what does it mean when the Bible says it means about being a member? What does that mean? So first thing we're going to do, we're going to read some scriptures here just to see what the Bible says about it. And then I'm going to talk a little more about it. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, well, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if an ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? Now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on them we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. Now that's a long reading there in Corinthians chapter 12, about 15 verses. But did you notice how much the analogy is being drawn? It's being painted pretty clear. Paul is saying, just like your body has many members, the body of Christ has many members. It's not just one member. There's lots of members. The body is there. The body has members. The member can't go off and be by itself and still be part of the body. One member can't say to the other, we don't need you, you know. And notice how the body got constructed. God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And God composed the body. And it says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Interesting. So what's it talking about? When we talk about being a member of the church, what does it mean? When we talk about being a member of the body of Christ, this is starting to get pretty clear. You're part of that body. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we, having many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. We are one body, Paul says, in Christ. We're not one body over here away from Christ, apart from Christ. We are one body in Christ. And we are members of one another. We belong to each other as members of the same body. Ephesians 1, verse 22. And he put all things under his feet, talking about God and Christ, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, the antecedents here of he and him are God and Jesus. So if I replace him, it would say, and God put all things under Jesus' feet and gave Jesus to be the head over all things to the church, which is Jesus' body, the fullness of Jesus who fills all in all. That's what the antecedents of the context states. So here it says very plainly, we've been talking about members and members of the body, and it's Christ's body, but that is the church. The body and the church are the same thing, according to Scripture. It's not like there's all a bunch of different churches and they're all part of different bodies, but they're all kind of sort of all related to Christ. No, they are one and the same thing. The body of Christ is the church of Christ, Christ's church. The members of the body of Christ are members of Christ's church. There is no distinction. That's what the Scripture's teaching. Ephesians 2, 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So first of all, he says, you're not strangers or foreigners or outsiders. You're fellow citizens. Fellow citizens, equal citizens. You know, I believe, probably, I think, everybody in this room is a citizen of the United States. And as a citizen of the United States, we are completely equal. We are on the same footing as every other citizen of the United States. We have the same rights to laws. Right? That's kind of what it's talking about here. We're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We're part of his household. We're part of his family. It says, we're being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, fitted together, grows into a holy temple before the Lord. Now, he's not talking about church buildings. He's not talking about these four walls. He's talking about the church, the body of Christ. It is like a building. It has a foundation on the apostles and prophets. At the cornerstone, the thing that holds all of it together is Christ. There is no other foundation that you can build the house of God on than that one foundation. And it's not like they go duplicating foundations. You know, like in San Antonio, they got some hills down there, but it's pretty flat. Compared to here, there's like no trees. And when they go out and build a subdivision, the first thing they do, they go pour a bunch of concrete slabs. And all the slabs look the same. It's basically a bunch of concrete slabs everywhere. And then they go in and build all the houses. And that's not what he's talking about here. He's not talking about that everywhere God builds a church, God builds a temple, because that's what it talks about, that he clones the foundation and builds another one. He's talking about one. One. One foundation. One chief cornerstone. One building. One temple. And we are lively stones. We're being fit together and growing into that temple. We are that temple. And of course, there's another place where Paul says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, we are that temple. But there's just one. It's not like everywhere. Ephesians 5, 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. And then dropping down to verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Christ is the head. He's the head of the body. He's the head of the church. He is the savior of the body. He's the only savior of the body, and he's the only head. Nobody has any right or any authority to be the head except Christ, period. Done. We are members of his body, and he is the head. We are one flesh. We are of his bones and of his flesh, it says. It's an intimate relationship. It is not oh, you're just off over where and sort of kind of loosely associated. You know, if your body was that way, if the members of your body weren't one flesh with the rest of your body, your hand might decide it wants to go down there, and it'd go down there and walk down the woods, and your leg might take off down this way and go over to Shelby, and your eyes might say, well, I'm going to go over here, and the other one says, I'm going to go over there, and we'd be wandering all over the place. That's not what he's talking about. One flesh, joined together, one. So that's what the Bible says about the nature of membership in the church. It's like being members of the same body, which is the body of Christ, which is the church of Christ, his church. It is the household of God. It is being built into a temple of God on the foundation of the prophets and apostles, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. All those things are talking about the same thing. And you are members if you are part of the body of Christ. We're going to talk about that. So what are the duties of membership? You know, if you're a member, does that just mean you're kind of, you know, it already said, if you're a member, one member, if one hurts, all hurt with it, right? Have you ever really smashed your thumb? You know what? Your big toe didn't get smashed, but there's not an inch of your body that's not thinking about that thumb when it's busted, right? And this is the idea. But listen, the scriptures are absolutely full in the New Testament about obligations and commands that the members of the body of Christ have toward each other. And there's a wonderful little magic phrase. It's called one another. You know, there are dozens and dozens of scriptures in the New Testament where the phrase one another shows up. And it's a great keyword if you want to look it up in your Bible. Look up one another and read all the verses. I'm not going to read them all, but I'm going to reference them. I'm not going to give you the verse number. I'm just going to tell you what the one another thing says. There's a lot of them, but pay attention. They fall into a few categories. In 1 John, it says, we have fellowship with one another. And then six different times, it says, we should love one another. We love one another, for love is of God. We love one another as he gave his commandment. We are just so God loved us, we ought to love one another. If we love one another, God abides in us. Love one another is one of our obligations. One another member. Members loving each other. In 1 Peter, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Have compassion. Be of one mind. Having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Have fervent, above all things, have fervent love for one another. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As God has given us grace, minister it to one another as good stewards. All of you be submissive to one another and clothed with humility. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Do not speak evil of one another. Do not grumble against one another. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. Those are in James. In Hebrews, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And in the manner of, this is the verse that talks about avoiding the attendance of the saints, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, Thessalonians, that you increase and abound in love to one another. Paul says, I shouldn't have to write to you, for yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you were doing. Colossians, do not lie to one another, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, admonishing and teaching one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Ephesians, with lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted and forgiving one another, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There it is again. Submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Galatians. Love, through love, serve one another. Don't bite and devour one another, lest you be consumed one of another. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. You who go to law against one another, you should not be going to law against your fellow member. Do not deprive one another. Brethren, when you come together to eat, He's talking about the Lord's Supper. Wait for one another. The members should have the same care for one another. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Gospel of John. You love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The world will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Mark, how will you, he says, have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. Romans, last section. So we being one in one body in Christ and members individually of one another, be kindly affectionate to one another and with brotherly love, giving preference, giving honor and preference to one another. Be of the same mind toward one another. Owe no one anything except to love one another. Let us not judge one another anymore, but resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in a brother's way. Be like-minded toward one another. Receive one another just as Christ received us to the glory of God. Admonish one another and greet one another with a holy kiss. Those are all the one another's. It's a lot of them, but did you get the theme? First, the easy one, right? Love one another. That's a short word and a big definition, right? What does it actually mean? But all those other things about how we behave as members of the same body, what's our obligation as members of the body of Christ. There's another element of being members, a responsibility of members. And this has to do with their relationship to their elders or overseers or shepherds. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. And then dropping down to verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. We know from the scriptures that the New Testament church was organized locally, autonomously. Those congregations were all independent. And if they had the people who met the qualifications, would have elders, multiple elders, never just one, but many, who were their shepherds or their overseers. And they had qualifications they had to meet. Those qualifications are in Timothy and Titus. We are blessed here. We've been blessed here since the foundation of this congregation somewhat. 13 years ago now? Getting up there? 2005. So that's 14 years ago. Of always having at least two men to serve as elders. Harold and I are the latest batch. But we've had many other men here who served as elders. And that's part of the notion of the membership of the body of Christ, is if there are elders, submitting to them because it's their job to watch out for your souls. Now, so let's talk about global membership and local membership a little bit. All Christians are members of Christ's church, his body and his bride. You want to study that part of it too. Once one obeys the gospel, God adds them to the church and they are members, period. Done. God adds them, first of all, man doesn't, and he only adds them to one place, his church. It's Christ's church. Not any man's church, not any one group, no voting, no tests, no financial statements, no rituals, no ceremonies, nothing. If you obey the gospel of Christ, you are a member of Christ's church, of his body, period. Done. That's what the scriptures teach. Of course, the church comes from the word, Greek word ekklesia, which means a called out assembly, a group of people who have been called together. It's a very generic word. It's not a religious word in the New Testament. If the Roman governor came to town and he wanted to talk to everybody, he'd send the soldiers out knocking on every door saying, "Come on out. The governor wants to talk to you." And that group would have been an ecclesia, a church. Okay? We don't use that word today that way, but that's how it was used in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the church in a city or a region was referred to as the church in Rome, the church at Corinth, the church of the Thessalonians, the church of Ephesus, or in a larger region, the churches in Asia, the churches of Galatia. Collectively, all the churches are referred to in various parts of the New Testament as the churches of God, the churches of Christ, the churches of the saints, the churches of the Gentiles, or simply the churches, or just the church. They're not ever referred to as different sections of bodies that had different, or in a different body that had different beliefs or different traditions or different doctrines. Always just one, singular. Locally, as in a collection of members, and not necessarily all the members in one city, you would hear things in the letters, in Paul's letters. He says, greet this person and the church in their house, or the church in their household. And there he's talking about the Christians who happen to be in their household, who happen to live with them, or who happen to meet at their home. Not necessarily they're the only Christians in the whole city, but, you know, they're the ones that meet over here with Priscilla and Aquila in their house. Right? That's the reference that's used. The only difference between a Christian at large, in the sense of one who is a member of the body of Christ, and a member of a local congregation, okay, is their commitment to work and worship there with that local congregation, and to submit to the elders as a member of their flock. So we talked a little bit about elders. Here's a couple of other points here to kind of talk about this flock business. Acts 20:28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves. Paul is talking to the elders of Ephesus, who he's met with here, and that's the context of chapter 20. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So he says, you are overseeing a flock who you are among. So it's not like you're an overseer and way over there in Hawaii is your flock. You're with them, okay? And the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. That's a very important job and a huge responsibility. 1 Peter 5, verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, not as lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you shall receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. Notice again, shepherd the flock which is among you. You got to be with them. Serving as overseers. You know, the words used for, we generally use the term elder, but there's three different words used in the Greek. One of them is overseer, one of them is an older man or an elder, and the other one is a shepherd, sometimes translated pastor. And those are the three words, okay? Episcopos, presbyteros, and poimen. And they're all talking about the very same person, the very same role, and it's the person who has been given, assigned, entrusted with a flock, a local flock. So a congregation, even though you have this notion of elders, right? A congregation or a group of elders does not own the membership of a Christian in Christ's church. We don't own it. That's your relationship with Christ. If you've obeyed the gospel, there are requirements. If you have obeyed the gospel of Christ, and I'll talk about that at the end, if you've obeyed the gospel of Christ, you are a member of Christ's church. There is no group of people on earth or any one person on earth or any group of people on earth who can say you are not a member of the church of Christ, Christ's church, because you have obeyed the gospel of Christ and you are living faithfully. If you're walking in the light, you're a member of the church. No one can say anything about that. So a local congregation or a group of men or women or whatever do not own your membership. That is just yours with God. This whole notion you sometimes hear in the denominational world, especially sometimes in denominations and across denominations, you'll hear a transfer of a letter or some sort of certificates of membership or something like that. They have no authority in Scripture. None. None. If you are in Christ, you are a member of Christ's church, period. It doesn't matter where you are or who you go, anything. You are a member of Christ's church. No man can say any different. And anything a man does say doesn't change that fact. Now, no one has authority, any authority, to restrict a faithful Christian from attending or not attending any congregation. It is a personal choice, and one that carries a responsibility to be faithful in attendance, because we are commanded as Christians, as members of the body of Christ, to be faithful in attendance, right? To meet together with other Christians. And we are also commanded to be faithful in attending faithful congregations. You can't just go anywhere where there's false teaching or where there's error, where the traditions of men are taught over the Word of God. You don't have the right to do that as a Christian. You've been bought with a price. You're part of Christ's body. You need to be in Christ's church, wherever that is. You know, that's a hard saying to say these days because, you know, everybody loves this. You know, we're free in America. We have the right of freedom of choice, including the church of our choice. We get to choose. Well, it is true that you can attend wherever you want to attend. You do have that right in the United States, but that's not something that Christ gave you. He didn't say go wherever you want, no matter what's taught there. He said, you're mine. I bought you with my blood. You be with my people on my day. You worship faithfully. That we are commanded to do. Of course, members may withdraw fellowship from an erring or unruly member. Remember I said, no one has any authority to restrict a faithful Christian. But if one is unfaithful, if they're disobedient or unruly or erring, the scripture tells us that members may have to withdraw fellowship from such a person so that they may understand the gravity of their situation and their disobedience and hopefully repent. The elders may also restrict a rebellious member or a false teacher from attending the worship of a local church in order to protect the flock, because we're commanded to protect the flock. It's our job. You know, one of the scariest verses for an elder, where, you know, when it says, we're going to have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and Christ is going to say, elder, how did you take care of my sheep? I want an accounting of my sheep that were under your care. That is a grave responsibility, and one we take very seriously. So yes, if someone needs to be excluded from the local congregation because they are threatening the salvation of members, then yes, the elders will say no. That's an extreme situation, though. Thankfully, it doesn't happen very often. But the elders need to know who has submitted to their oversight and become part of their flock. This is one of the nature of being a shepherd. If you were in a big valley and there were lots and lots and lots of shepherds and flocks, right, around in the valley, then, you know, every shepherd knows who his sheep is. You know, Jesus said, I know my sheep, I know them by name, and they know me too, right? And there's this whole notion in the New Testament of shepherds knowing their flock. And yet, if you were in a big valley with 100 different flocks, there might be a few sheep that kind of wander around from flock to flock, right? That happens here in the world. Right? With members, even with members of the body of Christ, right? Who are members of Christ's church. They're not necessarily stationary into one local congregation, especially in places where there's lots of congregations. Some of them never settle down. I personally don't think that's healthy for them spiritually, because I think there's a reason why God gave us elders, is that we need shepherding. We need that. And so if there is a congregation with elders, it's way better for you spiritually than being in a congregation without elders or hopping around between congregations with elders, but you never say, I'm one of your sheep, please look after my soul. It is not the elder's responsibility to take care of the sheep 1,000 miles away in Hawaii who aren't part of their flock, right? It's not our responsibility. We got enough working just to take care of the local sheep. But so someone comes here and they visit, even if they visit for a long time and they're here, how do the elders know that you're their sheep and they should treat you that way and that you agree to that relationship? Because it is a matter of submission. The scripture said we're to submit to those who are overseeing us. That means you've got a decision to make. The only requirements for becoming a part of a local flock, you're still a member of the body of Christ, whether you're But to be part of a local flock, the only real requirement are, have you obeyed the gospel of Christ, right? You're part of the body of Christ. And are you willing to submit to the local shepherds? That's all it is, very simply. It's the elders' responsibility to ensure that every member of their flock has indeed obeyed the gospel as taught in the Bible, especially in light of all the false doctrines that abound in this world. You know, if somebody walks in the door here, and maybe they've been here a few weeks, and they say, you know, I really like you guys. I'd really like to be a member here. You know what Harold and I have done? Several of you have been through this process. Is we said, okay, let's sit down and have talk. What do you believe? Where'd you come from? Tell me about your conversion. You know, What did you believe when have you been baptized? There are people who tell you you don't have to be baptized to be saved, right? We have to find out. Oh, when you were baptized, were you told you were baptized for the remission of sins to become a Christian? Or were you told that, you were baptized somehow, some way when you were a kid, sprinkled with some water or something, and told you were baptized? That kind of false teaching is all over the place. If somebody comes in here and we don't know you for a long time, we don't know. And it is the elder's highest duty to take care of and ensure your salvation and your eternity. There's no specific process, for identifying as a member of a local flock in Scripture. There's nothing that says so-and-so came to this town and they said, I want to be identified as a local member of your flock. Right? There's no example of that in Scripture. When you run into a situation like that in Scripture, that's where God gives us liberty to establish some sort of expedient. It's not Scripture. It's not a rule. Not a hard rule. But it just says, what's the process by which we're going to do this? And as long as that process doesn't violate the rest of the Scripture and abides with God's teaching, it's okay. What time do we meet together for worship on the Lord's Day? Bible doesn't say. It says on the Lord's Day. As long as you're here on the Lord's Day, you're good. 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 12:01 a.m., all those would be perfectly fine with Scripture. We make a decision based on expedience. When do we think everyone's going to be able to be here, etc. Same kind of situation when we take the Lord's Supper. Do we have to have a table and two stacks of trays that all look alike, that are made out of metal, that have little crosses on the top? Of course not. Scripture does not say that. But we better have the fruit of the vine and unleavened bread involved, and we better do it every week as the Lord gave us example. Right? That's the nature of an expedient. So when the elders, and in fact, pretty much it's pretty common, there's actually a phrase that's kind of used among churches of Christ in America about this situation. We typically call it placing membership. It's not a biblical term. It's an expedient. It's basically saying, if you are a member of the body of Christ, if you've obeyed the gospel of Christ as taught in the New Testament, you are part of Christ's church. If you want to identify and let everybody know, including the elders, that you want to be part of this local flock, then you talk to the elders. We have a discussion with you about making sure that, as best as we can tell, that you have obeyed the gospel of Christ, that you're in a right relationship there with God. And then it's done. It's like, sure, absolutely. It's not a light thing, though, because when the elders accept another sheep into their flock, I guarantee you what that means. There's one more notch on my prayer list, for sure. And there's going to be late nights, and there's going to be concern and fervent prayer and helping, finding out more about that person, getting to know them, and helping them in their life and their struggles, because it is the goal of a shepherd to get you to heaven as best as we can. So, if you're a visitor for the first time, or if you've been coming for months, if you have obeyed the gospel, you are already a member of Christ's church. There's nothing anyone here can say anything about that. If you've done what the Bible says, you are a member of the Church of Christ. I will stop for a second. I keep saying that. You'll notice that happens to be what we have on our sign out front. The reason it's out there is because of what the Bible says. It is Christ's church. It is not man's church. It is not a denomination. It is not some group that's, there's a bunch of them. I happen to have this. It's useful. There's all these other groups out here that have all kinds of names for their group. That's not just our name for a group. It is descriptive. It is Christ's church. It is his body. You are already, if you've obeyed the gospel, a member of that body. But if you want to, let the shepherds know that you want to be part of this local flock. The shepherds need to know. We just need to know. We don't want to impose that every visitor that walks through the door, we pigeonhole and take over here and says, okay, are you going to be part of our flock or not? That's your choice. That's your choice. And there are people who decide not to. They're still members of the body of Christ, and they may even attend in a place and worship with them and participate with them for many years, and yet never want to submit to an eldership and be part of that flock in that sense. They're still welcome to be here. They're still welcome. They're members of the body of Christ. So, if you have a desire, if you are a member of the body of Christ, and you have a desire to place your membership here, just let Harold and I know. We'll talk to you about it, and we'll see about it. But if you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, You have not become part of Christ's body. You are not part of his body. You are not any under any of those obligations and responsibilities. And you have none of those blessings, the forgiveness of sins, a promise of a home in heaven, the promise of having shepherds who will care for your soul and sacrifice a lot of their own life to help you make sure you get to heaven. So what does it mean? I keep saying obey the gospel, obey the gospel. The Bible says it very plainly in 1 Corinthians 15, the first few verses. Paul says, he says, "Brethren, I declare unto you again the gospel of Christ, which saves you, if you've obeyed it." And here it is, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. There's the good news. His death is good news. Not because he died, but because he died for us. He was buried, and then the really good news, he rose. And we too can walk in newness of life, as it says in Romans 6. If we obey, Romans 6:17 says this. He says, if you have obeyed that form of doctrine from the heart, that pattern of doctrine, the gospel of Christ, how do you obey the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ that we just talked about? It says it very plainly in Romans 6, first few verses. Don't you know that all those who are members of the body of Christ have been buried with Christ? You have been buried with Christ through baptism into death? There it is. Death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Die to self, buried in water, rise to walk in newness of life, Romans 6. And then you are born into the family of God. You are made a member of the body of Christ. You are a member of the church of Christ. Period. That's what it is. If you haven't done that, then you don't have that. You don't have that. Those rights and privileges, and you're outside of the body of Christ, and that is not where you want to be when Christ comes back. So you have an opportunity. We'd love to help you do that today. If you have any other needs that we need to be aware of, so we can pray with you and encourage you, feel free. But if you need to obey the gospel of Christ, you can do that now as we stand and sing.